So I'm going to read a few poems from the book, The Feeder, and I do have copies tonight if anybody would like to purchase. I feel like they lead into some new work I'm going to read as well. So I'm going to start with this. Well, I should say all three of them, they're scattered throughout the book and they sort of tell a story or unfold across the book. So this first one's called Fair, the Guesser. Leg skin stretched to shine, the boy waddled to the scale, his father's hand on his four-year-old back. Compassion lived in the carny when she guessed 79, and then, ah, you win, go pick a prize. She never even whispered afterward what 79 lowballed. I recognized the father as my boyfriend at 19, the man 6 years older who grabbed my breasts, paws swinging from a 400-pound frame, these are too big. He did that kind of damage you can't really describe. If I were a different person, I might brag about being tied to the bed for my first time. I watched that man's face, proud his son fooled his first woman into feeling sorry for him. My husband standing beside me in the crowd around the game read every story in my face, even ones I never told. Fair, funhouse mirror. Funhouse mirrors and fucking force us to see everything from every angle. What did my face look like when I was having one of those orgasms he claimed I had but didn't know I had? I know what his face looked like when he grew tired. I put my hand on top of his hand. He pulled back. Yeah, yeah, do yourself. I stood in front of the mirror to see my lingerie. I fell asleep waiting for him to come home. I saw both our disappointments over the bed. He untied my legs. Fair, ring toss. Signs at the tent screamed, you ring it, you win it, knives. I won 4. I posed for pictures, blades open, fanned across my cheek. The most dangerous thing I'd ever done was break up with him. Fool me once, I wouldn't know his house by the Porsche he said was in the driveway. There was never a Porsche in the driveway. He didn't drive, no license. It wasn't his house, it was his parents' basement, musty, full of boxes, frequently flooded, his bed tucked into a corner. Fool me twice, I can do better, I can do better, I'm the best you can do. I agreed to a friendly gift exchange for Christmas a month later. Yellow gold charms and chains, a ring, yellow gold, brash and cowardly, jewelry I gave back because, no, I won't be that again. So this next poem, and I'm going to read some new ones now, it's called My Teachers. And I saw a Facebook status update from another writer, and she had written, I'm a very charitable person. Every time I wear a low-cut shirt, I'm technically donating a work of art to the masses. And that stuck with me. And you'll see the echo of that at the end of the poem, but that's the inspiration for this. My Teachers. On the playground, one boy taught me what his dad taught him. You don't need more than a handful. The sex book mom read to me started with pistols and stamens, then animals standing apart in a barnyard, ended with a man and a woman in a bed, sheet to their chins. Even the tenting below, even the hint of tenting below would have been something. The magazine taught me self-exam, braless, put a pencil under one. If it falls, you're perky. If not, not. In ninth grade English class, new word sheets every week. 5 new words we encountered, looked up, used in a sentence. I wrote libido in pen before finding the definition. I rushed home each afternoon to watch MTV, Smells Like Teen Spirit in heavy rotation. I used a secondary definition that didn't mention sex. The subject of my sentence had a, quote, primitive biological urge for something else. Mom cried after hearing me read a poem about my first time, said if she'd been a younger mother, we would have talked more. Dr. Pittman never mentioned my libido, but I always used pencil from then on, recording words to look up later. The primitive courses threw me less tidy and logical than my teachers hoped, but sometimes I can't shake the early formed urge to cover my large breasts, even though I've since learned a deep V bestows a masterpiece to anyone looking. Anybody here go to Lilith Fair in 1997? No? Okay, I did. This one's titled Holy Tits, August 12th, 1997. Lilith Fair, Star Lake Amphitheater, Burgettstown, PA. Blessed and divine accumulations of fat bouncing in the rain-soaked run from lawn to parking lot. We weren't waiting for lightning to shut down the outdoor concert, even if Jewel hadn't played the main stage yet. I was 19, my sister only 16. Jewel was the reason those men were there. It wouldn't have been for the Indigo Girls or Lisa Loeb. Holy tits, they yelled. I wish I had found a safe place for us in the gap of two front teeth, in between two guitars slung low, in the curve of thick black spectacles. I was angry at the feminist organizers too, shooting off an email when I got home. Where are the effing plus size t-shirts? I don't know how to respond to catcalls, maybe because they didn't and still don't happen that often to me. In 2010, Sarah McLachlan staged a revival and Lisa Loeb eyewear collection launched. Each frame was named for one of her song titles. Several dates were canceled, performers backed out. How do you make 5 pounds of fat holy? Add a nipple. Thanks. So this one's called Titty City. It's in two parts. Titty City, one. Titty City has blue vein rivers and stretch mark roads. Its dust tastes like powdered milk. Invited visitors should close their eyes, lead with full faces. I danced with a tall man at the bar after my brother's wedding. He pushed me away a little, then looked down, Titty City, then, Interlopers should look up and turn around. Two. Same dress to my father's funeral 6 years later, but I was 40 pounds lighter, the ruching looser, and no push-up bra. I owned very few dresses, but owned them for a long time. When I sat down, the fabric pulled, and my bra was exposed in back. Titty City's vulnerability, eyes and hooks. Gates are built with memories as their latches. And my last one has a really long title. My coworker says he doesn't bother hitting the cat when it's bad because she's too fat to feel it. I remember walking high school halls when I was a freshman, and upper-class boys would push each other into me. More than 20 years, and I'm still trying to figure out the theory of the push. Embarrass him, embarrass me. It happened when I was alone. Those boys didn't think about me, about how I had to steel myself for an impact, about how I could have been knocked over. It happened when I was with someone, I had to pretend to be okay. I'd usually take a shoulder to my own, tall for my age. Was the pusher hoping I would like it, then want his friend in every way I could want someone? Then he'd be embarrassed by the love of a fat girl? Another coworker responds, hit the cat anyway. Thank you.